1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19. Just a brief message tonight in regard to division, heresies. You know, we think a lot of times about those things, and often we consider heresies and divisions to be something that shouldn't be amongst us, right? But I want you to kind of follow me here tonight, just briefly, to see what Paul has to say about this subject and why. Verse 18. First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you. Now that seems kind of strange for a preacher to say, right? But I recall a story in colonial America when they first began to bring codfish from Africa to America. By the time they would get them here, 2 or 3 months, sometimes 4 month journey in a ship, the codfish would be no good. But they discovered that if they would put one of the enemy of the codfish in the tank with the codfish, then they spent all their time working out, trying to stay away from the enemy, right? And so by the time they got to the shores of America, the codfish would be better than they were when they left, right? Without that enemy, they just kind of floated around in the water and didn't do much. But sometimes the enemy amongst us causes us to have to grow. It causes us to defend ourselves, right? But that's basically what Paul's saying in this passage of Scripture here. You remember that he's writing here to the Corinthians. And in the Corinthian church, he said that there were divisions among them, right? Some say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, right? There were divisions, carnal, fleshly. You know, Paul's the one that won me to Christ, right? You know, I know Peter won you, but Peter's nowhere near as good as Paul, right? That was the mentality of that day. They had also doctrinal heresies among them, right? So notice what he says. He says, first of all, when you come together. Now he's talking in context here about the Lord's table, right? About taking the Lord's Supper. Something that I believe the Lord Jesus ordained for the church. And in the early church, it appears that they took the Lord's table every week. It looked like they did that every week, and most today do it periodically. The church that we're sent out of, Dayspring, they do it every week. But the point in the Lord's table is remembering the finished work of Christ, the shed blood and the broken body of Christ, remembering his sacrifice for us, and coming together reverently to do that, right? When these people were taking the Lord's table, they were taking it unworthily. There were some in the church who were committing fornication. And Paul said, and that's in chapter 5, by the way. Chapter 3, he deals with the heresy, or the division, the carnality. He said, I have not spoken unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So when he's writing to the Corinthian church, he's dealing with their immaturity and their carnality, right? And it's the reason he writes the letter, to correct these things. People were taking the Lord's table unworthily. They were living in the church in sin. One guy even was committing fornication with his own stepmother, right, and doing it openly. You know, others were having sexual relationships with temple prostitutes. Others just living together in sin without marriage. Others divorcing their wives and going with other women. I mean, just a lot of different things in the Corinthian church that were happening. And the reason for this letter is for Paul to correct all these things, right? To point out that it's not okay, right? I mean, Christ died for sinners, but once you become a Christian, you're no longer a sinner, you're a saint, right? And so you become a new creature, and the evidence of that is that you begin to grow in grace. You begin to grow in Christ and to put off those things that you formerly lived in, right? If you're living in sin and you claim to be a Christian, you're not changing, in other words. You're not convicted about those sins and begin to put them off, right? Then that's pretty good evidence that maybe you didn't really get saved, right? Somebody who claims to be saved and then still wants to live in sin and seems to have no conviction about it, then there's something wrong. You know, people always used to say to me when we first came here, well, God just says, come as you are, right? So, and of course, there's no other way you can come, right? You can't change yourself. You can't clean yourself up. But when those people say that, what they mean is come as you are and stay as you are, because God don't really care, right? When they say Jesus paid for my sins, they think that means that their sins are already paid for, even though they're living in them, right? But we know that's not true. We looked at that last week. So the whole book of 1 Corinthians is written by Paul to correct some errors, right? We need to grow. We need to, you know, become better Christians. You claim to be a Christian, you need to begin to get your life lined up with Christ, right? What would Jesus do in certain situations, right? Would Jesus buy somebody a beer? I don't think he would. Would he give somebody money to buy crack cocaine? No, I don't think he would. Would he condone you robbing a bank? I don't think he would, right? There's a lot of things that are sin, right? Bad attitudes, beating your wife, abusing your children, right? Not going to church and you claim to be a Christian. You know, those are all sins, right? But the main thing is in the Christian life is not always external sins, right? Those seem to be the ones that we get rid of first so other people can't see them, right? We don't want somebody to think we're not, right? It's those internal sins. It's those sins of the spirit, the attitudes, right? The attitudes that we have, the bitterness, anger, strife, malice. There's external sins, the sins of the flesh, and there's the sins of the spirit, right? But there's also doctrinal error, right? There's also, which sometimes people who continue to live their life the wrong way, even after they become a Christian, it's because they don't understand the truth, right? If you think it's okay to do that, you're going to keep doing it, maybe. The Spirit's going to convict you, though. Even if you don't know the Word, the Spirit is still going to convict you that something's wrong. You ought to be uncomfortable sometimes about sin, right? The Holy Spirit will make you that. But whatever it is, in the Corinthian church, in addition to all that, there were divisions, there were heresies, right? Now, in this particular place here, he doesn't really name all the heresies, right? The divisions. But doctrinal division, and what we mean by that is teachings, wrong teaching, right? Paul said, when you come together in the church... Again, we've taught on the church many times, coming together in the church. That's a local church. I hear that there be divisions among you. Now, somebody was snitching, right? You know what I mean? Somebody was snitching. Somebody was telling Paul what's going on. We know the how someone in the house of Chloe was writing him and telling him what was going on in the church. Now, I'm kidding about the snitch thing, right? That's a, you know, we're not criminals, and so it's very, truth is very important, right? And Paul, they really had no good godly pastor at that time because it was an infant church. And so they're writing to Paul, who started the church, and telling them the things that are going on, right, that need to be addressed. And so that's why Paul wrote the letter to the Corinthians, to address those errors, all the ones that were written to him, right? Being Christians, we have to correct our errors, right? But he said, I hear that there are divisions among you. Now, there can be different kinds of divisions. There can be cultural divisions, right? You come to church and the ladies from the village don't like the ladies from the next village serving the meal. And they sit over here in church, and they sit over here in church, and they don't ever get together, right? That's a kind of division, right? We call that in the States, in the criminal world, cliques, right? You got a little clique over here, and a little clique over here, and a little clique over here. Are you with me? Well, you're not from our village, right? So if you're not from our village, you're not, you know, we don't fellowship too much with you, right? There are a lot of different things that can cause division, right? But the problem with those things are, the problem with division is, it's carnal. It's fleshly. Because Jesus Christ said, "Beloved, let us love one another." Right? If you love those that love you, what thanks do you have, he said. Right? Even the heathen do that. So we're to love the brethren, but we're to love our enemies too. We're to love the folks next door. Whoever, if they're not part of our clique, we're supposed to still love them, right? But he said, I hear that there are divisions among you. But I think mainly in this passage, he's addressing the doctrinal error, the teaching errors, right? Again, there was a guy living, having sexual relations with his stepmother. Now, it's not clear whether his dad was still alive or whether it was not. And most scholars believe that his dad had probably already passed, but it was still a vile sin to be living with your stepmother after your father has died, right? But he was doing it, and he was doing it openly, and the church was not doing anything about it. They seemed to be kind of boasting in how loving they were being by not rejecting him for doing that. And Paul said, shame on you, right? You should put that wicked man from among you, right? So the Bible's pretty clear that sin is not to be tolerated in the church. Now, neither is heresy, doctrinal heresy. We got some guys in a Tango 1 in the prison who been there for years. I don't know why in the world they're still in a, they've been 5 years in a 18-month program. I haven't figured that part out yet, but the same guys still sitting there arguing about the same stuff that they've been arguing about since I first started going there. And one of those things is the deity of Christ. That Jesus is God, right? You know, when you say, when we ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You know, I wasn't a theologian, and I'm not sure if I would be considered a really smart guy, but even before I became a Christian, I knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and that made him deity, that made him God. I didn't even read the Bible, and when I thought about the term Son of God, right? If God has a son, what is his son? Well, it says, somebody said, well, I'm a son of God. Well, you're not a son of God in that sense. You're a son of God by faith. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. That is the only begotten, right? That means he emanates from the Father. He is of the same essence if a man has a child, that child is man, right? Hello? If a man has a child, that child is a man. If God has a child, that child is God. Now, we're not saying Jesus was born as a child as the Son of God in the same sense that we think of a birth, right? But Jesus is the eternally begotten Son of God. He's always been the Son of God. I don't understand it, but I know it's true, right? You say, well, how did God become three? He didn't become three. He's always been three. He's been the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost from all eternity, right? Well, that don't make sense, somebody said. I don't understand that. Well, I don't understand it either, right? I don't understand how God could make a man out of the dust of the earth, but he did. Huh? I don't know how he could say, let there be, and there was. I don't understand that either, but he did. The things that are made were not made out of things that do appear, the Bible says, right? In other words, God didn't make anything out of something. Y'all with me? Y'all listening? God didn't make anything out of something that was already there. God made stuff that was not there before. He created something out of nothing. Man thinks he's created by making something out of something. Well, that's not creating. That's not creating. Right? That's only reforming. Huh? You can take a stump and make a lamp out of it, but you know, you didn't create that lamp. You made it out of stuff that already existed, right? But God didn't make anything out of something that already existed. There was nothing. And then there was something. Because God said, let there be. And there was. Amen? Just that simple. God's always been. He has no beginning. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. The first and the last. That's just one doctrine, right? But there are those who will try to say that Jesus Christ was only a man. That he became the Son of God in the manger, right? And they think because he was born as a man, that that's what it means when it says he's the Son of God, right? That he's the fleshly. No, no. He became the Son of Man. He was already the Son of God. God was manifest in the flesh. Right? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Right? All things were made by who? The Word. Verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Right? So, all things were made by Him, right? Well, in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created, right? Okay? That's Jesus. So, I didn't want to belabor that tonight. But division, heresy, is when you begin to teach something contrary to what the Word says. Right? And Paul said, I hear that there are heresies among you, divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Now look at this. For there must be also heresies among you. Why? It's kind of like the codfish, right? When they put the enemy in there, the codfish got a good workout, right? And they were better fish when they got to market than they were when they started, right? And Paul's saying the same thing. I hear that there are heresies among you, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you. You understand what that means? The word manifest means to come to light, right? So when you put a heretic in the middle of a bunch of true believers, something's going to happen, right? They're going to start spouting off that heresy, and somebody's going to say, no, wait a minute. See, one of the guys in prison that I've never really heard say much about the Lord, but one day we were in the room and another volunteer, employee there said that he didn't, you know, well, Jesus never claimed to be perfect without sin, right? And so, lo and behold, you know, I don't care if you're if you're a backslidden Christian, right? This is something that will determine whether you are a Christian or not, because when you hear that, you're going to have to say something, right? When you hear heresy like that, you're going to have to say, yeah, but wait a minute. Now, I wasn't real satisfied with his answer, right? Because he kind of knocked the rough edges off of it a little bit so it wouldn't offend him, the guy, right? But nevertheless, he had to say something. If you're a true Christian and you know the Word of God and you hear heresy, you see, somebody said to me today, "Job bless." I said, "Well, amen. Jesus is Job." He looked at me like I was crazy, right? Now, Jah is not some secondary God in the Bible different than Jesus. Huh? The word's only used one time in the Scripture. It's the short form of Jehovah. It's the exact same God. In the same, you can read it, Psalm 68. Psalm 68 says, "Worship Him by His name, Jah." And then it goes on and mentions Him again by each one of the names. Elohim, Adonai, Jehovah, all of them are right there in that same passage. All the different names of God are there in that same passage referring to the same God, right? And it even says, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive. It says that in Psalm 68. It also says that in Ephesians chapter 4 about Jesus. When He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive, right? So I said, so, Jesus is Jah. Jah is Jesus. Jah is just Jehovah. He's not some other God out there that you can take the Psalms and separate it from the rest of the Bible and build this new religion to worship Jah. Jesus is Jah. And the Scripture says so. Huh? Well, I hear that there are heresies among you. I would never known that. You listening? Here's what I'm saying about this. I would have never probably seen that if I hadn't have been in a conversation with some guys in prison one day about that very thing. And when I got back to my house that night and I opened up the Bible and fell open to that chapter and I just began to read, and there it was, right? So when I went back the next day, I said, "Hey, look here at the Scripture. I hear that there are heresies among you, and I partly believe it so that those that are approved," you know what that means? Approved. Remember, what's the Scripture say? Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, that the man of God might be what? Where's that passage at? I forgot. Anybody know where that's at, Brother Matthew? 2 Timothy, right? Yeah, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved, right? Study to show yourself approved. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved, right? That is the one who has studied the Word, who has been diligent in the Word, to know the Word, so that when heresy comes, he shows himself to be approved. Study to show yourself approved, right? Whenever a bank teaches somebody how to recognize counterfeit money, they don't make them study counterfeit money. They make them study the real thing, right? Show them all the details of it. They study it so much that they see it in their sleep, right? But when a counterfeit bill comes across the desk, they recognized it immediately because they got the picture of the real one in their mind. So with any little discrepancy, they see it, right? And that's the way this passage is telling us to be, right? Study, be diligent to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? So the whole issue here is in battling heresy and becoming and showing yourself approved is to know the word and be able to rightly divide the word, right? Because some of these guys can take other scriptures, right? One of the guys came up to me and he said, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son." That's two different people, right? And he tried to use that passage to argue, right? The Bible says rightly dividing the word of truth. If it says something different, if it appears to say something different over here than it does over here, then you got to figure out why, because the word of God doesn't contradict itself. It just means you're not interpreting it right. You're not understanding. You have to rightly divide the word. You can't just take the word and just slobber all over it and just make it say anything you want to, right? You have to take all the scripture and let the scripture interpret the other scriptures for you, right? Because they do. But now, what's the point of the message tonight? I just want you to see this. All the other stuff I said, just kind of a little treat, right? There must be also heresies among you, right? Now, nobody likes division. Nobody likes heresy. And we really don't want it to be there. But the Lord says that it must be, right? For there must be also heresies, right? God allows heresies among you. In the early church, so much heresy raised up in the first century, we wouldn't have the book of 1 John if it had not been for the Gnostics who rose up and began to preach that Jesus was not God come in the flesh. That God didn't care if you sinned. As a matter of fact, Jesus couldn't have been flesh and blood because all flesh is evil. That's what they taught. And that since all flesh is evil, you can only be evil. So it really doesn't matter how you live if you're a Christian. What do they say today? We're all just sinners. Isn't that what they say? We're all just sinners. Well, that's not true though, right? We were all born sinners, but the Bible never calls a true saint, a Christian, a sinner. It calls them a saint. Because a saint is a sinner who has turned from their sin and become a Christian, have been born again. And so from that point on, they don't live their life in sin the way they did before. It doesn't mean they can't stumble. It doesn't mean they don't have to struggle with sin and conquer it, because you do, right? But 1 John was written to counter that error that that you can't help it. You have to sin because you're just a sinner. And it was the error of that day that caused John to pin those words, right? So we have the word often, most of the time, the word of God that was written was countering error. It was answering heresy. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to know the word of God, right? We need to spend time in the word of God, reading it, studying it, praying over it, right? Applying it to your life so that when the heretic rises up amongst you, you'll recognize it, right? We'll recognize it in the church and we can reject it. We can stand up for the truth, right? A lot of heresy today in the churches. You know, we're a local church. So in this church, we hold to the truth as we know it, right? And there are a lot of other churches that have a lot of heresy in them, right? Somebody suggested that we begin to fellowship with certain preachers in the nation, which, you know, I said, well, we'll pray about it, you know, and we'll see how the Lord leads, right? So we could maybe have some kind of an influence upon them doctrinally, right? Doctrinally. You can be saved and have error, right? But God doesn't want you to have error. He wants us to grow. He wants us to get our heresy straight. Amen? So, if there's heresy among you, right? And if there's heresies among us, then it's there to make the truth come out. Right? It's there that those that are approved, that the godly men who know the word will come to the surface. You hear me? Brothers, I'm going to close with this. Those who are approved in the word of God will surface, because they will not be able to sit still with heresy in the midst. Amen? And those who are approved will come to the front, right? And they become the leaders in the church. Amen? So, with that said tonight, remember, right? We don't want heresy among us, but it's going to be there, and when it's there, listen, this is a closing statement. We don't need to compromise with the error and say, oh, we just all need to get along, right? No, we don't need to get along with heresy, right? We need to expose it. We need to counter it. And when it comes necessary, Paul said, a heretic, after the second and third admonition, or it says the first and second, a heretic, that is somebody that holds heretical doctrine, after the first and second admonition, that means after you've corrected them twice, reject them if they don't listen, right? There comes a point where you put a heretic out of the church, just like you would put a fornicator living in open sin out of the church, right? Well, enough said about that tonight.